certainly hoping that the Lord would inspire someone else. Let's pray for the word tonight. Ask the Lord to bless. Thinking tonight about the God of our salvation. I would like for us to turn into Psalms, the 27th chapter. Well, Schaefer, but she was sorrow when she gave us this verse. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after. That I had been newly saved, hadn't been saved all that long, but she came there. I was still eager as a young Christian, feeling the joy of the Lord in my heart and the change that had happened. And she visited us there at the little chapel there in northeast Oklahoma. And she got up that morning and shared this memory verse. It was evidently one that really meant a lot to her, and it has meant a lot to me throughout the years. Well, I thought it might be. Well, I'm starting to try to read there, and I noticed I was not in Psalms, I was in Proverbs. I used a term a little bit ago about, I said I was newly saved. That's a term we're fairly familiar with. It's one of those terms that it means something to our mind, and generally what it means to our mind is that we have had a moment where we reckoned with the sin of our heart and we felt the guilt of it and the stirring of the Holy Spirit in our life, and we were tired of who we had become. Somehow the Lord had gotten a hold of our heart, and we, at least in my case, I felt kind of helpless and kind of worthless. And I didn't want to go on like that. I didn't want my life to go on in that trajectory. And in the middle of that, it almost brought despair and a darkness in my life, and like there wasn't any help. But in the middle of that, there got to be this ringing in my heart saying that the Lord Himself was appealing and saying, but I want you. And in the middle of that, I thought, there's really nothing that you want. I don't know how. You know how it feels to feel worthless? That's how I felt. In the presence of the Lord, I felt like there was really nothing here left. He wouldn't want me anyway. The devil was accentuating that with all the whispers that he had in my mind, saying there's nothing there he wants. And he had some good material to work with. The devil pointed out every wrong thing that I had ever done and the things that I had intentionally done. And in the middle of that, there was this experience that God still, in the acknowledging all the wrong and the guilt that I justly deserved, acknowledging all that, but yet He whispered hope. And yet He said, I want you. And that broke my heart. I could resist. It seems like I could resist about anything. You couldn't have scared me into this. You could have talked to me about hell. I had some defense against that type of a fear, but I had no defense against the love. A love that acknowledged my ruin and still said He wanted me. And then because of that, I brought Him my pile of ashes. And He said, if you'll let me have it, I'll make you new. So when I sing that song, the song is about the blood. There's power in the blood. I know firsthand what it means. The God of our salvation. This is a God who loves people. It's It's a God who wants to change people. It's a God who acknowledges and recognizes all of our faults. It's not any of those. None of those faults are hidden from Him. Those faults that I secretly know about, and I look at my mirror and tear sometimes and say, that's me. At least I remember those times when I really hated the picture that I saw of me. I can't say I'm willing to say I need a lot of growth. But I'm not willing to say I'm the old man, because I'm not the old man. But I remember those times when I felt so very worthless. And this God proved to me, as John quoted his characteristic, he said, for God is love. That is a characteristic, a crowning, a jewel, characteristic of our Lord, that He cares for us in the state that we find ourselves in. If you're a sinner tonight, Christ died for the sin. He came that people might be saved. He came to seek. Not just save the lost, but He came to hunt for the lost. To seek. What kind of God does that? The one who loves. The one who doesn't ignore our lost estate, that doesn't look at us and say, you've reviled me so many times, I'm done with you. He still, in the Old Testament, it was described like this, that all day long, He stretched out His arm to a gainsaying people. Didn't say He withdrew it. And I would say today, that same God is still stretching out His arm to undeserving people. And as we walk with the Lord, I just want to recommend at this juncture of the message that if we find ourselves in that place that our conscience knows who we are and we're a desperate place, I want you to know there's a God that loves you. And there's a God who wants to change you. Offering hope, offering purpose, offering a new direction, offering life for death used to reign, offering a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. This is what the Lord does for us. And that crisis experience, maybe I said it like that because it seems like we come to that place that reach a crisis in our life and we bring it to the Lord in prayer. One of the things we are accustomed to doing here especially is sometimes we feel, especially in a service where the Lord may be stirring our hearts, and we feel that fresh stirring by the message or the songs of the Lord working in a congregation. We come at that moment because we feel the conviction heavy on our heart, and we come to an altar prayer like this, and we pour out our heart to the Lord. The reason why I think an altar like this is a good thing, because many times we can see ourselves in the mirror of the Word, and we feel the strong conviction. And if we walk out that door, you know what happens? It begins to diminish. So while we're feeling that we have an altar, this is a good time. Those are good times to come and give our heart to the Lord. And that crisis experience that we have when we feel the joy of the Lord, when we're accepted, when we pour out of our heart out to Him and say, Lord, I'm so sorry. If you can take this ruined life and you can turn it around, make anything out of it, Lord, I'm tired of it anyway. I want You to have it. And when He takes that and changes it, what a relief rolls off your shoulders. What a hope is birthed there. But that's not where salvation ends. You see, salvation is not just a crisis moment. And I want us to look as a body of people I don't want to discount that crisis moment when we come to the Lord and we receive His forgiveness and we plunge in that fountain and we're saved and changed. A guilt is washed away. That's a wonderful, and I'll never want to lose that. It's a precious. But I also don't want to lose the knowledge that the Lord is not through at that moment, that He forgives us. Salvation goes more than that. You know, that's a beginning. I just say it that way. That's the beginning. That's the start of the journey. That's the start of the way. Early Christians, before they were even known as Christians, early vernacular that they would describe them by was they were people of the way. A different way. It was a path that was recognizable. These people, they had turned from the legalism of the Judaic law and the Mosaic structure. It's not that that was wrong. It was good. It served out its place and found fulfillment in Christ. And there were many Jews wrestled with the believing and understanding because they were raised with conscience trained to acknowledge the Jewish, those works of the law as something that they should still do. And it wasn't evil for them to feel that way, but they had to, somehow the Lord had to bring them from there to a faith in Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. There had to be something that began to dawn on their mind that this one that stands here is my high priest. And then as they transposed and brought their faith, it was from faith to faith. Faith in the old law system now to faith in Jesus Christ. The Lord brought them to this faith that they laid hold on the hope that there was in Christ Jesus. This hope that we found in Christ Jesus wasn't limited to a certain group of people, a Jewish nation, that lineage. It went way beyond that. It was also to all people who were like me. One of the barbarians. These who were outside of the commonwealth of Israel. There's a God of our salvation. Not just God and some of the what we read here tonight. A lot of times they were referring to the God of the salvation of the Jews. That's what they had in their mind. But over in the New Testament and that Jesus has established a new law, the New Testament that we have still a God of our salvation in the New Testament. So we thank the Lord that now tonight we can lay our faith on Jesus Christ, on the one who has purchased our redemption, the one who has laid down His life for the sheep, the one who invites us to a place of security and hope in Him. And I would like tonight to read over here in the Psalms. Psalms 27 is where we're going to start. The Lord is my light and my salvation. This is a Psalm of David. He was describing his interaction with the Lord. I want to tell you that the Lord was real to people over in the old law system. David had something. David got a hold of a God. God talked with him. God convicted him. God made him feel guilty when he had done wrong. God dealt with David. The Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord has illuminated my way. The Lord has miraculously at times stepped in and protected me. But part of this salvation is walking the way of the Lord. The salvation that we have here tonight is not just the crisis experience where we come and we are forgiven of our sin and we're unified with the God of heaven, and that's a great thing. But when you rise from that altar, walk in newness of life. It continues to change us, dear ones. And I want us to please, in our mind, don't think this is a This is a two-step program. I believe very much in the Word and the Spirit of our Lord. I believe very much in salvation and sanctification. But that doesn't mean when you get the Holy Spirit in your life that you're done changing. This is the God of our salvation. It's a wonderful experience to receive the Holy Spirit of God working in our life, changing us. That's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing to have my heart open and receive, and I receive the Word of God, enlivened by His Spirit, explained many times by His Spirit working in our life. This influence, this holy influence that is coming in my heart and changing me, David, that's wonderful. I recommend all of us symbolically to cross the River Jordan, get over into the promised land, live for the Lord with all of your heart. I recommend that. But when we get over there, the God of our salvation isn't done with us gaining ground. The God of our salvation still leads us. He is our, what did David say? He's my light. This isn't a one-time shining on our life. Walk in the light as He is in the light. And as we do that, we'll not stumble because we're walking in the light. That doesn't mean that we won't have some things that light will show up, because likely, when the Lord shines His light upon our pathway, we'll see some things that maybe won't look quite right. And as we walk in the way of the Lord, as we follow after Him, the Lord in His loving mercy will many times put His finger on things that if He didn't do it, it would cause our feet to stumble. But He's a God of our salvation. He's interested in you and I recognizing the pitfalls before we fall in them. He's interested in you and I acknowledging places that need to be changed in us. This is part of the function of the work of God in our life. This is part of the function of not only the Word being there and alive in our life, but it's also part of the function of the Holy Spirit working and convincing us in our very soul, in our understanding that I see Christ now, and I see where I should walk, and I see places that I used to have or that are even in me now, and the Lord is shining. Whom the Lord loves, what does He do? Doesn't He correct us? In what fashion? Is it as a tyrant? Thank you. How does He correct His children? Every time I've had correction, it was in extreme love. I'm sorry if we sometimes as people, as individuals, I should say, sometimes our life experience can be where maybe we didn't have good fathers. And I don't know everybody's experience here today, but sometimes we have had in our mind the father that we had wasn't very kind. And perhaps they were harsh and mean. And every time they corrected us, it wasn't out of love. We need correction. I'm not saying a father shouldn't correct his child. They should. But sometimes our experience, if we've been corrected harshly all of our life, and then I tell you, whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. Sometimes that conjures bad ideas in your mind. I want to tell you, the God that we serve tonight is a good Father. He's a loving Father. He's a good shepherd. He's the kind of shepherd that when one of the 99 is lost somewhere out across the mountain, He goes hunting for it. And when He finds him, He doesn't spank him. And I'm not totally against spanking in the right way. That's not what I'm talking about here tonight. But what I'm really talking about is the kindness and the gentleness and the loving reclamation, the reclaiming force of our Heavenly Father. Whom He loves, He chastens. And as we walk with Him, because He wants us not to grow up as unloved and just uncared for children. He wants us to be trained up in the way of the Lord. And so He takes our raw material. And as we begin to learn to walk in the stumbling gate that sometimes we might find, and we deal with life and the times when carnality is found in me, and I wished it wouldn't, but yet it's there. We must acknowledge what's there. Please don't have it in our minds that now since I am saved and sanctified, I have nothing to deal with. Because temptation is still there, folks. But when you find a place there that needs to be brought into subjection, bring it to the Lord and say, Lord, I am thine, dear precious Savior Jesus, all thine, all of self, now to the death I resign. Gladly, gladly, all I have I resign. That salvation in its completeness be mine. Lord, work on in my life. I really want us to think that this sanctification is not a moment that an experience that we get the Holy Spirit and then we never have to. It transports us beyond almost temptation. That's not what I see in the Scripture. But I do see an active working of God in humans' lives. Amen. That we do grow in Him. That the devil is defeated. And that cleansing isn't a... Well, it is a moment where we go over into that land and possess it. And we offer ourselves as a vessel to be infilled by His Holy Spirit. But that's not the last act that it does. That Holy Spirit does come in and fill us. And then it begins to work and expand. And this God of our salvation isn't done working when He just comes in. He continues taking us by the hand and leading us daily. I'm sorry. I'm not reading as much as what I meant to. God of our salvation, whom shall I fear? Oh, dear ones, the Lord loves us enough to lead us around the pitfalls of life if we'll let Him. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. We don't have to fall prey to the wiles of the devil. We don't have to be humbled by those things. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. He's painting a picture, and I likely there were some literal wars, literal enemies that David had reckoned with, some real things that had risen physically against him. But I'm talking this evening about a spiritual battle, about our condition of our soul, a place that God Himself wants to own in us. Talking about this experience where when the devil comes up with all his growls and all his menacing and all the sense that we can almost feel in our soul that I'm about ready to be overwhelmed. What does David say this about our God, the God of our salvation? Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing, this is the purpose of my heart. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after. That I may dwell, that I may live here in the house of the Lord. Not just camp out, not just be there for a week, not just visit. But this is where the rest of my life is invested, in the house of my God. In the dwelling place of the Most High. I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Folks, when I came to the Lord for salvation, that crisis that I was desperate, I needed to be saved, I needed to be forgiven, I needed to be changed in the inner man. When I brought that to the Lord, I was in a desperate place. And here this says, that I may dwell in the house, to behold all the days of my life. When I came and brought that condition before the Lord, I told Him that I was done with the old life. And the rest of my days I was giving to Him. Can we do that? Of course we can. When that powerful one who is riding before us on that white horse with that sharp sword, I don't put that as some futuristic time. I think that's now. I think we have a king that is able to deliver. I think we have a king that's able to take you and I where we are and make it so that we can dwell all the days of our life with our Lord in the temple. That I can give Him my all. And whom the Lord loves while I'm dwelling there so close to Him, He can lovingly tap me on the shoulder and say, "Child, let me teach you something." When we were raising our children, there were some times that the children were small. We wanted them to feel a part of our family. Part of that is not just hugging them. That's part of it, yes. But part of them is also letting them take a broom and sweep the kitchen. We were doing this as a family, doing things together. Did the child know how to sweep very well? Not really. But they were doing something. And we thanked them for it. And we may have picked up the broom and done some more. Or we may have even taught them. Now here's this corner over here. Don't you know that our Heavenly Father, when we're dwelling in His house, we're part of the family. And there's times that He'll say, "You're doing a good job. I'm glad for the effort that you're giving. But let me teach you a little bit better." Isn't that the way our Lord is? Please don't expect that when He corrects you, He's going to be harsh or mean-spirited to you. He's not that kind of a God. He's a God that takes His children and strengthens us in the inner man and cuts off places of, or reveals perhaps, places of vulnerability in us. He says, "Child, you're doing a good job, but here's an area you're not recognizing right now. And the devil's going to come in. He's going to tempt you. I want you to be aware. I want you to be strengthened with my mind in your inner man. I want to prepare you." This is our Lord. He's not mean, nor is He looking for the opportunity to cut you off if you haven't swept perfectly. He wants to take us and teach us and lead us. "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire. My hungry heart wants to know more. Teach me, Lord. Lord, I want to inquire. I've looked at the beauty of this place. Oh, the security of this dwelling place. This place that I can be with you. And I feel so comfortable. I feel so fulfilled. But as I'm here and I'm looking, I'm telling the towers. I'm looking at the bulwarks and all the walls of salvation round about. All the defensive things and the offensive. When the devil comes near, we can strike some blows too. And I see all that the place where we can dwell with the Lord. And I inquire, behold the beauty and inquire in that temple." Spiritually is what we're talking about here. A place, is this mic quit? Or I think maybe this one has quit. And that's okay. I believe you can still hear me. "For in the time of trouble, this God of our salvation, for in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret place of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me upon a rock of..." I'm anchored there. This is a place that I can feel secure. He set me upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing as in here tonight when we come to the joy of our heart. That's what makes the songs of Zion ring. When there's something real inside of our heart and we sing it to the joy of the Lord, it makes our songs, this is different than most songs you're going to find. It's because the Lord has done something. And folks, if we ever get to the place that the Lord isn't real in our heart, our songs will sound different. I don't ever want to get to that place. I don't want to ever get so arrogant that my heart isn't humbly saying, Lord, have thine own way. I don't want to ever get to the place that our song will lose the anointing of the Spirit of the Lord. Well, I'm going to skip down to the 8th verse. When you said, Lord, seek ye my face, my heart responded, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Lord, help us to. This is the God of our salvation. The one who wants to help us. I'm going to skip some of these other verses. I'm going to go quickly over here to Psalms 91. 91st Psalm. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Doesn't that sound like a nice, secure place? The God of our salvation, not just forgiveness, but a place of dwelling, a place of security and hope, a place of living with Him. I will say of the Lord, He's my refuge. When I'm in trouble, when I'm needing protection, this is a place I run to. When I need counsel, this is a place I run to. When I feel like I'm confused in my mind, when things are feeling moved around me, when all that the wonders come in my mind, and I'm wondering about you, and you might be wondering me about me, I want to tell you, that's a time to go dwell deep in the Lord. I will say of my Lord, He is my refuge. He's my fortress. He's my God. In Him will I trust. I don't want you to trust in me anyway. And I don't want us to trust in each other, except we should love and honor and build a certain amount of trust. But the trust that I need for my soul's direction and soul's redemption has only got one place it must harbor, and that's in my Lord. We can help each other. I don't want to destroy the idea that we don't build these heart ties that God intended for us to build. That we don't communicate with each other and bear our hearts to each other. That we can truly be knit together in love. If we don't have those, where's the knitting? Again, I'm a little bit of a something that has kind of troubled me, that it bothers me a little bit that I'm up here from almost an authoritative position trying to tell you something and there's not any interaction and we become passive. I want the walls to tumble down. I want us to get to know each other as brothers. I want vulnerability to replace us waiting till service is over and walk out that door and not hard to get to know each other. I want us to be knit together in love. I want the Lord working in us to the point that you may come up and give me some counsel someday. Well, maybe you didn't even know you were doing it, but the words you said rang so true in my heart. We're all brethren. You call me pastor. But I really want to be known as The greatest title I want is to be known as a child of God. I want God to be championed. I will sing of the Lord. He's my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Gotten to know Him. Spent some time with Him in the closet of prayer. Spent some time with Him when I'm alone. Perhaps traveling down the road. You ever done that? Steal some time from the other busyness of life. Catch a moment that all seem like the devil will try to fill up our minds. Take some of that back and spend some time with the Lord. When you do that, you know what faith begins to do and trust begins to do? It is increased within your very... Because I spent some time talking with the God of heaven. My Father, the good shepherd of my soul. I will say of the Lord, He's my refuge, He's my fortress. He's the God, He's my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. I guess they had those noisome pestilence back then. It seems like we've also got a lot of things, the devil, the voices of the world, the voices of temptation, the things that are pestilence to our soul, vexes us. He'll deliver us from those snares, those traps, if we'll let Him. God wants to guide us. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Truth is a very valuable thing. And it's not my truth I'm wanting to tell you about. I want the Lord to tell you His truth. Because that's the only truth there really is. Oh, His truth is sweet. It's righteous. It leads us truly. Neither will it tell us lies. It will not flatter me. It will kindly tell me the truth. And He'll lead us in His ways of righteousness for His very truth, His namesake, because He loves us. He is a shield and a buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Now, we can carnally try to interpret this and say that if I walk with the Lord, my life is going to, I'm never going to get sick. I'm going to be, everything's going to be perfect. That's not what He's talking about. This is more of a spiritual place. This is a place of freedom and purpose in the Lord. I want to encourage us today, and there's other scriptures that I actually, I don't think I'm going to read. Oh, maybe I'm going to read a little bit more of this chapter here, though. 14th verse. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver Him. I will set Him on high. Did you know we can love the Lord with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind? Did you know also we can love our neighbor as ourselves? We can do it. There's no rule or law that says we can't. In fact, we're called to love the Lord with all of our heart. And in that process of doing so, there is such a sweetness that comes into our soul. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver Him. I will set Him on high, because He hath known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer. This is God saying this. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. This is the God of our salvation. He's coming. He will be our helper, our shield and our buckler. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation, the God of our salvation. Folks, I hope that tonight I have given a little bit to our mind a wonderful Heavenly Father that we can dwell with. And I know, because I've walked some of that path where destruction lived. And I know sometimes we can feel very hopeless and very helpless. But I hope tonight that picture that I've tried to paint to you about a God of your salvation, not just mine, our salvation, all of us. We have a God that wants to take us where we are tonight, person that we are tonight. And if we'll just yield that to him, there's power in that blood. There's power in this dwelling place of the Most High. One thing have I desired. This is the focus. This is the desperation in my heart. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell right here with the Lord. And I just want to encourage you tonight, if somewhere in your heart there's a longing, if somewhere in your heart tonight there, maybe the devil has been saying, but there's just, it's too far back, or it's too far from where you are to that place of peace, I want to tell you that if you start toward the Lord, he'll meet you. You're likely going to meet you at a run. I'm reminded of the story that Jesus told about a young man who went away from home. He took things that was rightly his, and he took it. Father gave it to him, his inheritance, and he took off. And he ruined his life. Riotous living got a hold of him. And he came to himself, and he recognized how unfulfilling that walk away from the Lord was. He came and began to realize that what has happened to my life was not what I thought. He found himself degraded, dehumanized, and he said, if I'll just turn around, I remember home. He said, if I'll just go back there, and I'm not going to claim to be a son at all, but if he'll just let me work for him. An humble heart, didn't he have? He came back right. Wasn't claiming anything special. But the father had been longing for that boy to come home. Don't know, but it sounds like the father had been out there watching for him. Sin's an ugly thing. It hurts people. He may have went away with fine clothes, well-dressed, a lot of purpose, a lot of dreams in his life, and all of them got shattered. Clothes got marred. He ate with the pigs and came to himself and started headed back home. I don't know. I like to think that perhaps he was limping, head hanging low. Well, I'm coming close. I don't know hardly what to tell him. Wonder if Daddy will care at all. But Daddy was looking down the road too. And this is what I want to tell you. I don't care what the devil's telling you tonight. I want you to know there's a God looking down the road for you. And there's power in the blood. And if you'll just begin to come home, he'll be so happy to come and get you in his arms and say, you're forgiven. And then you can start this journey of dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. And the Lord wants to have that place for you. There is a place of refuge for your soul. And dear one here tonight, this altar is not just for the sinner. This altar is for us. We have places in our lives where we need to have the Lord. There's no shame coming down here and say, Lord, I need some help. It's a good thing. I offer you tonight our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to live for Him all my days. Pray for me.